Well, welcome again and happy Easter. My thanks to Tamara and to Marcy and the music team for sharing your gifts with us. And I must say this, the sanctuary looks beautiful. So my thanks to all the folks who made this so beautiful. And it reminds us of the hope and the joy of Easter morning. This morning we are in John the 20th chapter, verses 1 and following. And it's John's account of that first Easter morning. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, and as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside, and he saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning as we celebrate Easter on this sunrise resurrection morning, I'd like to think about seeing beyond the stone. Of course, it's baseball season, as many of you know, and I want to share one of my favorite baseball stories with you. The story is told of Susan Ninsky from Farmington, Massachusetts, and she was a diehard Red Sox fan. I know, hard to believe, isn't it? But she was a diehard Red Sox fan, and she'd never been to see one of the games, even though she didn't live that far away. And the reason was because Susan owned a donut shop, and she worked there day and most of the nights, as a matter of fact. Well, one day a customer came in, and he ordered a chocolate donut with sprinkles on it, and he plunked down an envelope on the counter, and Susan opened it, and it was a ticket to the game that evening where the Red Sox were to play their arch enemies, the New York Yankees. I know, some Yankees fans out there. And she couldn't resist, and so she closed the donut shop, and with a great deal of excitement, she went to Fenway Park, and she found her seat, and she had an obstructed view. She sat in what is considered one of the worst seats in all of professional sports. In fact, many people believe it is the worst seat in all professional sports. It is Section 23, Row 10, Seat 17. It sits right behind a giant green concrete pole. Now, Fenway Park was built in 1912, and so they didn't have today's technology, so there's 23 of these poles, but this is absolutely the worst seat. You cannot see the pitcher, you can't see the batter, and you can't see right field. And so she sat there for 3 hours. Well, the next day, customer came back in and said, "Susan, how did you like the baseball game?" And she said, "Well, it was great if you like looking at 3 hours of concrete pole." And the man said, "I know, I've had those tickets for 5 years and been to over 100 games, and I've yet to see the Red Sox actually win a game." Well, when you think about it, this morning, Easter begins with an obstructed view, doesn't it? We think about Mary Magdalene this morning, and John, as is typical, tends to focus the camera angle on one person. We believe there was another Mary and at least one other woman at the beginning who went to anoint Jesus' body with spices, then went to tell the disciples, and then Mary is back here. But John wants to focus singularly on Mary Magdalene, because in focusing on one person, you see some insights that you would not otherwise. And so he's focusing the camera this morning on Mary Magdalene. And as she had gone to the tomb that morning, you can only imagine what was going through her mind. And she and another Mary at least were going to anoint the body of Jesus with some burial perfume. Now, there was this huge stone that had been rolled in front of that tomb when Jesus was buried there. We believe the stone was probably about 8 feet in diameter and rolled down an incline in a slot, and so to roll it back would have been an insurmountable task. And so on the way there, they had to think about the obstructed view they had. There was a stone in their way. And I think many of us do have an obstructive view, a stone in our path many times as we think about life, and we especially think about Easter. I mean, sometimes it's the fear of death that's sort of a stone that's in the way. And many of us have anxieties about that. Maybe we wrestle with an illness. And for others, it's a problem that seems too big for us, doesn't it? Maybe it's a financial issue or illness or relationship difficulties. And for some of us, there's the stone of grief. We miss a loved one, and this afternoon at Easter brunch or Easter dinner, we will have a chair that's missing a loved one, and so that stone seems something that is beyond our view, beyond our grasp. It is an insurmountable obstacle. As we continue the story, Mary is there, and she's weeping, and then she sees two angels, and then she turns around, and she sees a man she believes to be the gardener at first. We don't know if it was because of her tears or because of the sunlight pouring through there, but she asks him if he's taken away the Lord. And then Jesus speaks her name, Mary, and in that moment, Mary recognizes the risen Lord and says, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus gives her the great commission. And Mary, the most unlikely of people, because she had a bit of a checkered past, Mary becomes, as history has declared her, the apostle to the apostles. The first one to carry the news of the risen Lord to the disciples who would see Christ later. And so John has told us some amazing things. And when you think about it this morning, it's interesting, isn't it, that Mary mistakes Jesus for the gardener. And it's a little detail. John is good at these little details, but John always includes details for a reason, doesn't he? Not just that they're true, but they're full of message. They're fraught with meaning. And so John tells us this interesting detail that Mary mistook Jesus for the gardener. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Not the baker and, you know, not the engineer, not the scientist, but the gardener. And it's kind of amazing because we always sort of laugh at that a little bit, don't we? But what if Mary was more right than wrong? I mean, isn't Jesus in some sense the divine gardener? And one of the qualities I want to think about this morning at this sunrise service is, what do gardeners do? Well, one thing gardeners do is they roll away the stones. I know all of our farmers out there, sort of our gardeners on grand scale, hate stones. They hate rocks. They roll them out of the field so the field can become fertile and plant and full of the future. And gardeners are the same way. Gardeners are ones who remove the stones so that they can till the soil and they can plant the seeds and all these beautiful flowers can grow. And so wherever there was gloom and doom, you have bloom and hope. And so Jesus rolls the stone away that first Easter morning as our divine gardener. And I believe in the same way that Jesus can roll away the stones of our lives, whatever those are. And maybe it's the stone of the fear of death that we all wrestle with from time to time. And maybe it's the stone that seems like a problem that is way too big for any of us. Financial difficulties we're wrestling with, or an illness for ourselves or a loved one. Or maybe the stone of losing a loved one and the hole that we feel in our heart. Jesus can roll away the stone and fill our hearts and lives with life and hope and bloom in the face of gloom. And I think that's an amazing truth for us this morning. There's a story that I love, and it's the story of this boy. And his father tells him to go move this giant stone that's out in their field so they can farm that field. And so The boy goes and he does his best. He at first pushes on that stone and it's just too big. He can't move it. And so he tries tying a rope around it and pulling it, and he can't pull it. And then he tries beating it with a hammer to break it up, and he simply can't do it. And so he's so frustrated. He wanted to obey his father. And finally, he goes back to his father and he says, "I can't move the stone." And the father says, "Well, did you try everything?" And the little boy said, "Yes, I absolutely did." And the little boy says, "Well, I tried pushing it. It was too big, and I tried pulling it, it was too heavy. I even tried smashing it, but it was just too hard. There's nothing I can do. I tried everything." And the father said, you didn't try everything." And the boy said, "What do you mean?" And the father said, "You didn't come and ask me. If you'd come and ask me, then you and I together could do what you could not do alone." And I think in the same way, that on Easter morning, the stone might be way too big for any one of us, but if we go to our Heavenly Father and we ask for God's assistance in moving whatever stone it is that blocks our view of the risen Lord, then we can have the strength and the power and the perseverance to move that stone with our Lord's help, and our life will never be the same. And so we think about seeing beyond the stone. We think about the hope of He still moves stones. And I don't know whatever you're wrestling with this morning, but Easter morning is the one that when we allow Christ to move away the stone, beyond that stone is the hope of the resurrection. Beyond that stone is the power of life eternal. Beyond that stone is the ability to wrestle with problems that are way too big for us alone, but with God, all things are possible. And with beyond that stone is forgiveness and grace, new hope and new life, and a powerful life-changing moment with the risen Lord. We've talked about how these seven signs in John point towards Christ, and this isn't a sign. This is the reality that everything has been pointing to, the reality of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And I love that little detail that John puts in there, because he talked about Peter going in, and he talked about Peter seeing, but then John records of his own life that he saw and believed. And all these signs and the reality of the resurrection are so that we could see and believe, and in so doing have our lives changed and forgiven forevermore, and have the hope of eternal life. I'm going to close with this story, which I love. It's a true story. And the story is told of this 11-year-old boy, and his mom was a single mom, and she had to work in the evenings quite often, so she had to leave her boy alone. And this is back in the day before cell phones, and so the old-fashioned phone where you'd sometimes dial the operator. And so she told her little boy when she was away in the evening for a while that if he ever had an issue, a problem, or difficulty, to just dial the operator, and the operator would tell him what to do. And so some time went by, and one evening the mother was away, and the little boy's parakeet died, and he was overcome with grief, and so he didn't know what to do, and so he looked at the phone, and he picked it up, and he dialed the operator, and Mrs. Creighton was on the other end of the phone, and Mrs. Creighton answered the phone, and she asked the boy what was wrong, and he said, "Well, my mother said that if I ever had a problem, that I could call the operator, and she'd tell me what to do." And she said, "Well, okay, share with me your problem." And he explained to her that his little parakeet had died. And she shared back an incredible word of wisdom. She said, "Well, there's other worlds in which to sing. There's other worlds in which to sing." And that really touched the boy's heart and life. And so he developed a relationship with that operator. He'd often call when he was alone or facing a difficult task at school, and he'd ask for Mrs. Creighton, and they developed quite a bond. Well, he went to high school, and he got older, and he called Mrs. Creighton less and less, and then one day he went off to college, and he didn't call her anymore. And then he was a sophomore in college, and he came home, and he'd just broken up with his girlfriend, and so he didn't quite know what to do, and he looked at that telephone, and so he decided to call Mrs. Creighton, and he dialed zero, and another voice answered the phone, and he asked for Mrs. Creighton, and the woman on the other end of the line said, "Well, Mrs. Creighton doesn't work here anymore. She had cancer and died 2 years ago." There was silence on the phone, and the woman said, "Are you the boy that used to call?" And he said, "Well, yes, I am." And she said, "Well, she left a message for you. She wanted you to know that there are other worlds in which to sing. There are other worlds in which to sing." And so today, whatever we're wrestling with, Easter morning is the morning that we can know that God is still the God who moves away the stone in our life, whatever that stone is. And if we have the vision to see beyond the stone, not of our own, but with the help of our Lord and Savior, that there are other worlds in which to sing. and that can change our life completely and eternally forever. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for that first Easter morning when Mary's life was transformed, as were Peter and John and later all the disciples, and really all of history. And sometimes we feel as if our life has a view that is blocked by a stone that is too big, too heavy, and too dark for any of us to move. But we know that that first Easter morning was the morning that you rolled away the stone as our divine gardener. You planted new life, not only in the universe, but each of our hearts and lives. And so today, help us to see beyond the stone to the hope that we have of eternal life through you. Hope that is so strong that it changes our present and transforms our future through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, Amen.